last week we talked about not just being generous, but having a generous heart. There's a big and a very distinct difference. We can do things that appear to be generous, but the real power and the effectiveness of those acts come when they come out of a heart that is generous. And we looked how that God himself is not just a generous God, but he is generosity. The Bible says God is love. He is not just a God who knows how to love. He is love itself. And if we want to see and experience generosity in its fullness and its perfection, we need look no further than God himself. We saw how that he has demonstrated from the point of creation and right through to today his generous nature. Then we moved on and we saw how that the Bible teaches us that God has given us everything that we need to live a God-like life, a life of godliness. That he has equipped us and prepared us so that we can partake of his divine nature. So when we think about ourselves as Christians, as those who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know from what God teaches us that in just the same way as God is generous, his nature is generous, so we have been given everything that we need for us to be just like him. To be generous, to have a generous heart. There is nothing lacking in any one of us whereby we cannot take after the nature of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we continue this study today, that God will work something on the inside of each one of us, that he would challenge us concerning our heart, the nature of our heart. Is it a heart that has been shaped and formed by the influences of the world that we live in? Or is it a heart that is after the very nature of God, and it influences and changes the world that we live in? My belief is this, that God says that ours is the latter of those two. That where we go, whatever sphere and realm of life we are in, that we can be a people that influence our environment for good and for God. And in the context of our studies, that God would call us to have a generous nature, a generous heart. Our Bible scripture for this study is taken from 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, where the Bible tells us that God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. You'll remember last week that we looked very briefly at the scriptures from Luke and chapter 6, where Jesus begins to illustrate what real generosity is. Jesus said, anyone can give to those who are loving people, can give love, can give kindness. Anyone can do that. Jesus said, even sinners do that. He said, if you want to know what real generosity is, it is when we are able to love our enemies. We are able to bless those who have cursed us. We are able to give of our kindness, our love, our finances, our resources, whatever it is that God has blessed us with, we are able to give without the purpose of getting something back. Jesus said, if somebody asks you for your tunic, for your coat, offer them your cloak as well. If somebody slaps you around the face, turn the other cheek. This is the nature of generosity. This is the nature of God. The Bible says that God commends the generosity of his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, undeserving of God's love, Christ died for us. My friend, that is a generous heart. That is an example of a generous heart. And I would like us this morning to think about for a little while what an ungenerous heart looks like. Now, I'm not sure if that's good English, but it works. An ungenerous heart, a heart that is not displaying generosity. And I would like to take a few moments for us to look at another scripture from the book of Luke. This is time from chapter 12, where Jesus tells a parable, a story with an earthly connection, but it has a very spiritual meaning. And at the very beginning of this parable, Jesus issues a stern warning. He says in verse 15 of chapter 12, he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." That's his warning. Be on your guard, watch out for all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, I would say that if Jesus is issuing a warning, we would do well to take notice. We would do well to take the advice of Jesus Christ. And in this scripture, Jesus says, you need to be very, very careful. And this is what you need to be careful of: all kinds of greed. And Jesus will go on to explain what he means as he goes through this parable. But he qualifies it here and now and says that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. If we were to stop for a moment and we were to think about the systems of the world that we live in today, those things that the majority of people are pursuing, those things that people are desperate almost to surround themselves with, we would have to put it into this category. And we would have to say that many people are in pursuit of an abundance of possessions. And I want to ask this question this morning of us as Christians: is this what we are trying to do with our life? Is this what we are giving ourselves to surround ourselves with the so-called safety and security of very temporal, worldly, material possessions? Is that what gives us a sense of well-being and security? It doesn't just mean to say that we are constantly trying to buy the most expensive and the highest quality of possessions and surround ourselves with those. It can mean as well that our life is about pursuing a means to that end. We can forever be trying to better ourselves in our profession, in our education, our pursuit of qualifications. In some cases, can be a lifelong project, because the drive behind us, the thing that we're we are chasing and pursuing is to ensure a sense of security in our life by the things that we surround ourselves with. In John chapter 10 and in verse 10, Jesus says these words. He speaks about himself as the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Right there, my friends, is a demonstration of generosity. He laid down his very own life. At the time when Jesus was crucified, somebody in a position of authority said, "Do you not know, Jesus, that I have the power to instruct for you to be killed or for you to be set free?" And Jesus says, "You only have that power if it's given to you by my Father." And he said, "I choose whether I lay down my life so that I may take it up again." Jesus, my friends, made that choice out of a generous heart. But he goes on to say something very, very important. He said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus did not say, "I have come that they may have an abundance of possessions." I want you, as I have done this week, to put together these two very, very important scriptures where Jesus talks about what real life is. Are any of you alive here this morning? Let me see your hand. Good. The rest of you will pray for resurrection. So since you're alive here this morning and we're talking about life, this concept, this truth is extremely important to each one of us. Jesus said in Luke 12, "Life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." That is not where real life is found. But he says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I have come that you may have abundant life, and I'm laying my life down so that you can enjoy that abundant life." My friends, if you are this morning to any degree in a pursuit of an abundance of possessions, if that is where you are looking for your security to be placed in, then this message is for you. This story that Jesus told is one that we need to listen to this morning. In verse 16, this is the story that Jesus told, and our Bibles may give it the title, "The Story of the Rich Fool." Now you may think this morning, "Well, that's not me, so I can switch off. I'm not a fool." You may not be a fool, but please listen to what God wants to say to us from his word. Verse 16, Jesus said, as he told this parable, "The ground of a certain man, rich man, yielded an abundant harvest." Now, we are not told very much about this man. As we go through this story, we will discover some things about him. But all Jesus says is that there was a certain man and he had some ground, and at this particular time, it yielded an abundant harvest. Abundant riches are not the proof of a godly life. Abundant riches are not the proof of a godly life. I will not get into arguments with people that say that abundant riches are the evidence of a godly life. But I find nowhere in Scripture to back that theory up. I find scriptures that Jesus says to the opposite. But it is so easy for us as Christians to equate success and abundance of goods, of possessions, of wealth. It's so easy for us to equate that with a godly life. And one of the greatest mistakes that we make is that we look at people and we compare ourselves with them. We look at a person who apparently has great wealth, and it is very easy for us to come to the wrong conclusion that God must be pouring out his blessings upon them. God must be causing that person to prosper, to be in wealth. But it is not necessarily a right conclusion to come to. There are many, many people in this world today who are successful, who are wealthy, who have possessions more than they know what to do with, but they reject God. And I want us to learn this lesson this morning to avoid us from falling into this trap where we equate success and prosperity with godly living. Now, does God want to bless us? Yes, he does. Has God got a problem with Christians being wealthy? No, he hasn't. But if our pursuit in life is of those wealth and riches, then that does give God a problem. In fact, it gives us a problem. But we must be very careful, my friends, as Christians. Do not compare ourselves with the view to determining that that person must be more godly than me or that other person, because God must have blessed them. If God has blessed them, hallelujah. If God has caused them to prosper, praise be to Jesus. But we must be very sure that our pursuit in life is not for possessions. And we will discover in this story why not. Verse 17, Jesus goes on with this story. This man has had a wonderful harvest, and he thinks to himself, what shall I do? Because I have nowhere to store my crops. When we see the things that we have, the things that we have gained, or the things that God has blessed us with, whether they are gifts and talents, whether they are families, possessions, finances, profession, skills, whatever it is, when we see those things simply as ours, it creates a problem for us, because we have then the problem of protecting them. This man had got this big harvest, but because he saw it as his own, and because he wanted to hold on to it, it created a major problem for him, because he had nowhere to store it. And many times I believe we fall into this trap that Satan sets for us, of thinking that the things that God has given to us, or the things that we have drawn to ourselves, they are only ours. And we become possessive about them. I was talking to a very good friend of mine this week from this church, who has a young child. And he was telling me just how, from last week's message that God brought to us, that he and his wife are looking differently at the way in which they encourage their child to consider the toys that they have. Prior to last week, the encouragement was, when other children came round to visit, that they would encourage their child to share. And you know how children sometimes are? They want the very toy that the other child has got. Isn't that right? Yeah? Sometimes adults don't grow out of that. It just doesn't relate to toys. It relates to other things. And we get upset. We get angry when somebody has got what I want, and why doesn't God bless me? You see? But you see, my friend has caught a hold of God's principle. So instead of encouraging his child to take turns, he said to his child, why don't you let that other child play with it all the time? Different concept. You see, even when we teach to share, we can still have a possessiveness about something. But if we're able and willing to give it away, that thing doesn't have a hold on us because we can freely let it go. I think this is about the quietest I've ever been in this church. Isn't it a concept that causes your brain to tilt? When you start to think about those things that are precious to you, and God may just speak to you and say, not just share it, give it. And some of us think that we're more generous when we have more to give away. It's like the person who says, I will start tithing when I'm on a certain salary. Yeah? We've all been there. By the way, we're going to be talking about offerings and tithing, specifically to do with finances, in a few weeks' time. So you want to come and catch that teaching from God's Word. But don't think that when you've got more, you'll become more generous. It's not true. The more you have, the more you'll want to hold on to it, and the less generous you become. This man that we read of in the Bible, he had a huge harvest, but he still held on to it. And the way that God looks at the things that he gives to us is that we are stewards of them. And as a steward, God may say to us, this is yours and you can keep it. For example, your husband or your wife. He doesn't expect us to share them with other men or women. Okay? Don't go home thinking, oh, I can kind of trade my husband in because God says I've got to share everything. No, there are some things that it's till death do you part. Yeah? But you know you can become even possessive of your wife. If you haven't got that assurance in your heart that God has given you and your wife to one another, you can be protective. And if you see your wife talking to a man, you can think, what's she talking about? Am I telling you the truth? Yes, I am. And so even in that, we must be trusting with what God has given us. But God may just as well bless you abundantly with possessions, with gifts and talents, with abilities, with finances. And what are they for? Are they for you to have a lovely big bank balance or to stand trophies on your glass cabinet and say, I can do this, I've got this, look at my wonderful family? No, God is going to ask you to give it away. Because it doesn't actually belong to you. What God wants to work in our hearts today, I believe, is this beautiful freedom that comes when we know that everything that God has given to us is actually still his anyhow. And if God wants my gifts, if God wants me to give away my car, my finances, then because it actually doesn't belong to me anyhow and I'm just a steward, to give it away is just being obedient to what God's asked me to do with what he gave me in the first place. You getting it? This man had a big problem. He's got a big harvest. But because he sees it as his and only his, he has a big problem. And the more we become possessive, the bigger our problem becomes. The more protective we become, the more tight and closed in our heart we become, and the less generous we become. Verse 18, Jesus said that this man said, this is what I will do. He had a problem. He's come up with an idea. I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. You see, the man realized that he had more than enough because he had surplus grain. He had more than he needed, but rather than give it, he wanted to hold on to it. He wanted to perhaps prepare for the future. He wanted to make his own provision for what might happen. How many of you have heard this little phrase that we should save for a rainy day? Yeah? It kind of means that we should save up just in case something goes wrong. Just in case the washing machine catches fire. Just in case we have an accident and wreck the car. So we should collect. We should be like squirrels who are busy, 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 busy collecting food for the winter. Should we not save? I think saving is smart, but not when it becomes our protection plan. Not when God comes to us and says, you know that savings account that you have? And you go, nope, I don't have any savings account. You know, you're trying to deceive God. No, I don't have any savings. That is just in case. God says, well, I want to talk to you about that. There isn't a just in case right now. I would like you to give that away. Oh, that hurts. You see, when we plan for disasters and we put away for disasters, that which God has given to us suddenly becomes mine. That's mine. That's no longer God's. That's mine. God actually says, no, that's still mine. I've just asked you to take care of it. It's smart when we can save. In our teaching on biblical finances, we're going to be talking about how you can get and stay debt free. It's a misconception in today's society that we have to live in debt. It's a lie, and all lies come from the devil. We do not have to live in debt. There are godly principles in his word that teach us how to live debt free. Because I know that a number of us are thinking here this morning, and as we listen to this on the podcast, we're thinking it's okay for all those rich, blessed people who don't have debt. But what about me who has a debt? Then you need to keep listening to the podcast, or you need to come to the nations and visit with us and hear how that God will teach us how to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Are you interested in that? I am. Praise God. He recognized he had surplus and he was afraid. He was afraid to let it go because he said, I'm going to bash down my barns, which are too small, and I'm going to build bigger ones. You see, there's work involved in being possessive. You've seen these circus acts where they have these long sticks and they spin plates on top of them. Yeah, you've seen that? You've seen where they spin the plates? And sometimes they can get like 10 or 20 or 30 plates spinning at once. When we are possessive about what God has given to us, we're like those plate spinners. We're running from one place to another, protecting, making sure that it's safe, that nobody's taking it from us. We're afraid of losing what God has given to us. And God says, well, it's not yours anyhow. So there's no need to be afraid. But this man was afraid. He wanted to build for himself some barns where he could hide this away. He said, then I'll say to myself, hey, you've got plenty of grain stored up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. The ungenerous heart is now exposed because it's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about my security, my safety, me taking care of number one. And we lose sight of the beautiful, liberating, and freeing truth that God is Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. He has promised that everything we have need of, He will provide. He says, I want you to ask, but I want you to know this as well. Even before you ask, I know what you have need of, and I take delight in providing for you. But many Christians lose sight of that, and in fear, they are protecting, holding on to the very gifts that God has given to them in case they lose them. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, there is one that sows liberally and receives much, and there is one that holds on to more than is wise and has nothing. And that's how it seems to us. Those that protect what God has given to them, and it's all about me, it's all about looking after me, never have enough. I'm telling you the truth. You never have enough. You get a salary increase and you think, well, that wasn't very generous. You get a bonus at work and you think, that was almost insignificant. Someone is kind to you and forgives you for something that you've done, and you say, well, they should forgive me because they're Christians. It's never enough when we have an ungenerous heart. But when we have a liberal heart, like the heart of God, when we are able to give of what God has given to us, then everything that God blesses us with is an opportunity for us to praise Him and to be thankful. You know, sometimes we come to Sunday service like this, church service, and the worship leader says, let's all stand and praise God, and thoughts flash through our mind. Well, I don't know that I've got anything to praise God for. That comes out of an ungenerous heart. It comes out of a heart that's just really trying to look for the next security fix. That which can make you feel good. And God says, if you just let go, let me be Lord of everything that I give you. Just be generous with your time, with your skills, with your talents, with your finances, with your resources, with everything that I've blessed you with, you'll spend a lot less time worrying about the future. Jesus said, you look at the flowers in the fields. He says, my Father clothes those in all their beauty. Do you think that if He takes care of those which are here today and tomorrow gone, do you not think that He can take care of you? Yes, He can. Yes, He can. And one of the things in which He helps us with is this. He asks us to have this beautiful, generous heart. But God said to this man, you're a fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get those things that you have prepared for yourself? God calls a person with an ungenerous heart a fool. It's pretty strong talk. Do you know what a fool is? You look at your notes. This is a definition of a fool. Someone without reason. That's strong. And for those who have no generosity in their heart, God says, this is you. You're a fool. You're without reason. You're senseless. Foolish. Stupid. Without reflection or intelligence, you say, no, that's going too far. That's going too far. Because it is common sense. It is with good sense. It is with good reflection, with good intelligence, that I bring these things around me and provide for myself. Not if it prevents you from demonstrating the generous nature of God. Then God says, that's foolish. That's foolish. Acting rashly. You know, I've spoken to people and God has said to them, I want you to give this away. I have a friend who lives in the UK who many years ago was a very, very successful financial advisor. He had property in London. He had property in Paris. He drove around in a Porsche 911 Carrera. He had another car as well. And he was wealthy, very, very wealthy. Debt didn't come anywhere near him. And one day he woke up, he had his devotion time, and God said to him, I want you to give it all away. Yeah, how about that? You know, sometimes God says to us, I want you to forgive that person. You say, forget it. They don't deserve it. They do not deserve my forgiveness. God says, I want you to be kind to that person. A person who's really suffering and struggling right now. Just show them some love. And you say, they've never shown me any love. And yet, you know, we'll stand in the worship service and we'll say, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. And God says, just surrender a little bit of your love, a little bit of your forgiveness, a little bit of your time, your care, your consideration. And sometimes God doesn't even talk to us about money because he knows we struggle with that. Just give a little bit of your gifts and talents. Use that gift you've got, your time. Come and serve in the kids' ministry. Come and serve in the youth ministry. Come and serve in the band or setting up. And you say, well, no, there's other people doing that. And yet we say, well, if God would ask me to give my car away, I would do it in an instant. Okay. God says, when we are faithful with small things, He knows He can trust us with big things. And my friend, he gave it away. And he started to work within a church, in a church ministry. He had a regular job. He started to help with a church plant, which grew and prospered. And then God says, now I need you to go back into it, into your business. And he said, but God, that's like 8 years ago. And I don't know the trade anymore. It's moved on. God said, I'm asking you to do this. And so he started another business in financial advising. And now he has an extremely successful business. And he has a portfolio of about 35 properties in the London area that God has provided for him. But he doesn't consider it his own. A beautiful story, some retired nuns visited him one day. Retired nuns. And they said to him, they knocked on his door. They said, God has told us to come to you because you're going to give us some accommodation. He said, oh, interesting. So he started to look for some accommodation to rent for them. And every house he took them to, he was willing to pay the rent for them. Every house he took them to, they said, no, that's not the right one. That's not the right one. And so he thought, I don't know what to do. So he invited them round to his house to pray together, to seek what to do. And they got together and they prayed. And he said, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm really happy to help and provide you with accommodation. But we've been to quite a few and you've just said no to each one. I don't know what to do. And they said, well, it's actually this house we're in now. He said, well, this is mine. They said, yeah, we know that. But we're just telling you what God has said. So he moved out and let them live there. See, that's a generous spirit. That excites us, doesn't it? We think, oh man, I wish I could be in that place. I would say, be generous with what God is asking you to do today. It may not be that you pay for someone to live in an apartment. It may not be that you give them your car or you give them your savings account. It may be that God just says, I want you to bless them. Go up to that person who you don't speak the same language as and say, hi, God bless you. Be generous with what we have got. You see, God has given us these things not to hold on to, but He's blessed us so that we can be a blessing with a generous heart. As we think about, just as we close, what a generous heart looks like, we looked at this scripture last week from 1 Chronicles 29. David got so excited because when he asked the people to bring in the materials to build the temple, they brought so much in that he had to stop them. And he declares, my God, who are we? Who are we that we should be able to be so generous. And then he realized, well, actually, all we're giving back to you is what you've given to us. You see, God will never ask us to give something that we don't have. There'll be a cost to it, but he will make provision for it. You say, well, what about me giving, say, my finances, you know, to the church? What about tithing? Should I take a loan to give to the church? No, because that's not yours. That belongs to the bank. You don't take a loan out to give because it's not yours to give. It belongs to the bank. To me, that's quite straightforward. But if God has given you something, then he may well ask you to bless someone else with that. And you don't need to worry whether you will go without, because God has a law. He's written a law. It's called seed time and harvest. He says, as a man sows, so shall he also reap. You will never, ever be in lack. You'll never be without if you trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And there is such a freedom and a liberty that David felt and the people of Israel felt because they were able to give to the Lord for the building of his temple. But they realized, hey God, all we're giving to you is what you've first given to us anyhow. They realized that they were stewards and they were not just possessors of these things. In Psalm 23 verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will lack no good thing. It's beautiful to stop and to consider the attributes of the Lord as our shepherd, how he protects, he provides, he feeds us, he leads us in the paths of righteousness, etc. But one of the attributes that we sometimes forget is that when we know and we make the Lord our shepherd, we can trust him for everything that we have need of. Whether it's a material possession, belonging, something practical that we need, or whether it's a work in our heart, with the Lord as our shepherd, there's nothing that we're going to lack. There may be things that you feel you would like, and just talk to God about it. But you'll never lack anything. David talks about this in Psalms as well, where he says that he sees the heart of a generous person who constantly gives, and he's realized this, that man never goes without food. God will provide. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that those that see themselves as sowers, God will not only give them food to eat, but seed to sow. So God wants to give you more than you need. He doesn't mind it when we get an abundant harvest, when we are successful in our work, in our business. He doesn't mind for us to prosper in these things as long as we know that he is our provider and that which he gives us is actually still his and he would like to do certain things with it. Our final scripture today as we close, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, read those scriptures for yourself. It's the history of those that were the first Christians. And the Bible says that they came together. They were in one accord, in one place. And there was not one of them that had any need. Not one. Because if there was one that had surplus land or property or possessions, then they simply sold it. And they brought the proceeds of that sale to the feet of the apostles, and the apostles distributed it to those that had need. Isn't that a beautiful and simple way of living? Isn't that such a demonstration of the fullness of that saving work of Christ? Where not only does God liberate us from the power of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the eternal damnation that sin brings. Not only does he take away from us our sinful nature and give us a new nature like Jesus Christ, but the work of that salvation is so liberating that it frees us to realize and accept and acknowledge that not only has God given me my salvation, but he's actually given me everything. Everything. And if I'm sitting in church service like they did, and I come across the need that somebody has, and I have more than I need, it's a natural thing for the generous heart to say, hey, I can meet that need. Rather than think, well, I might need that later on. If you need it later on, God will provide it later on. And this is the beauty of the generous heart. It's open to hear what God wants to do. It isn't holding on to the things that God has blessed us with, but simply sees itself as a steward and somebody who can take what God has blessed us with, whatever that is. And I'm not just talking, obviously, about money. Whatever it is that God has blessed us with. And when God says, I want you to sow that, I want you to give it, the generous heart does it. That is the nature of God. God saw our need, was the only one that could meet it. But his generosity enabled him to do just that. For God so loved the world that was lost in sin, in darkness, on its way to hell. God so loved the world that out of his heart and nature of generosity, he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. God did not give with the guarantee that he would get everything back, but he still gave. He still gave of his very best. And I want us to be encouraged. These are not sermons. These are not messages that are designed to get you to get your money into the offering bag. We don't work like that at all. As a church, as a ministry, these principles that I'm talking to you about, those are what we live by. We trust God. We don't need to manipulate and control people by certain messages and sermons to get them to give. We will be doing some biblical teaching on finances, but we trust God in just the same way. And when we see that there are people in need, when the church has them, we love to be able to help and support that as well. We love to give to missions work. 10% of everything that comes in through tithes and offerings instantly goes to the work of Mountain Child in the Himalayas, to those that are underprivileged, those that haven't heard the gospel yet. I would say they are the most needy people on the face of this earth, those that have not heard of Jesus Christ. So as a ministry, we give willingly, freely, generously, so that they have the opportunity to hear. And this is what we're looking to see God work in the hearts of each one of us, where God can use us. Maybe we have a gift or a talent. We have a skill and ability. What would God say to you? Keep working, keep working, keep amassing an abundance of possessions. Or maybe God would say to you, use that for my glory. Just a thought. We're going to worship God together with a song right now. Just ask the band to come to the stage. And as we do that, the ushers will help us. They'll give us opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to take these words and to meditate upon them. To really allow God to work on the inside of you. And I say to you 100% honestly, this is such a liberating message if we can receive it that way. God is 100% trustworthy. Amen. God is 100% trustworthy. He is faithful to his word. He will never abandon us. And the Bible says that actually he has great and takes great delight when he sees those who, like himself, demonstrate a willing and a generous heart. I don't know where you sit on this, but I really want to be a person that God can use. Yeah? I don't want to grow old and miserable and lonely and think, well, what was life all about? And maybe, you know, have all these riches and securities around me, but have used them for nothing other than my own gain. I would rather be someone that can give them away, use them for the purposes of God, and see that constant flow of provision as God makes available to us from his heavenly resources, which, by the way, is not suffering an economic scare right now. There's no economic downturn in the kingdom of God in heaven. Its shares are still very healthy. Its bonds are looking good. It's a great place to invest our lives in, seriously. But not for what we get out of it, but for what we can give to the purposes of God. Father, we thank you for your word that reaches into our hearts right now. Father, for some of us here, this may be quite challenging because to date, perhaps our lives have been somewhat different and we have been taking care of number one and perhaps have even felt that that's the right and the reasonable thing to do. But God, we want to open the doors of our hearts this morning, not only to let you in, but to let that generosity flow out of us. Father, would you speak to our hearts this morning, specifically to each individual, and help us to see those things that you have blessed us with so that we can in turn be a blessing. Father, your word says that there is a greater blessing that comes from giving than there is when we receive. And Father, we all love to receive. We love to receive gifts and presents. But your word says there's a greater blessing that comes through giving. Father, we want to be a people that experiences that greater blessing as you work within us, that generosity. Father, you've said that we have been already given everything that we need to have a God-like life, that you've blessed us already with this way. Father, I pray that each one of us will be partakers in this context of generosity, that each one of us would be partakers of your divine nature. In Jesus' name, amen.